Morning Huddle Construction Show is fortunate to have five sponsors for season 7, helping us to spread the word and create positive change in the construction industry. And we want to give a shout out to each of them and thank them now. First is Katz Abosch. This is a middle market accounting firm with a deep specialization in construction, tax, audit, accounting, fantastic group of people. Next is Lawrence Law. This is a boutique law firm that works with contractors and helps them with their day-to-day legal needs, as well as all of their most significant legal challenges that they might run up against. Lawrence Law. Then we have Sandy Spring Bank, which is a regional bank in Maryland, with a group of people who really understand what the needs of construction businesses are and who partner with you to achieve your financial aims. So Sandy Spring Bank. And then we have Marsh McLennan Agency, bonding and insurance professionals, really just have unparalleled insight into the construction industry. They're the best in the business. And then lastly, we have Genesis AEC. And Genesis is a full service architecture, engineering, and construction management firm with a deep specialization in the life sciences industry. We also happen to have some of their folks help us with guest hosting from time to time. It is morning huddle time. Stacey, what's happening the day after Memorial Day?
Oh, man, it's rough sometimes, right? It's like Monday.
Yeah, as Will said in our you know, pre-interview chat, he was like, yeah, it's a Tuesday feeling like a Monday. That's a fact. It is definitely feel like a Monday.
Yeah. You do anything fun yesterday?
Yesterday, I did a lot of cleaning and organizing and getting my world straight. I had a great time on the two Saturdays we had, though. That was cool. It's like, you know, Saturday and Sunday was like a double Saturday.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun. I went fishing a bunch and you know, hung out with the family and did some barbecuing, and it was wonderful. How about you?
Yeah, we just went to the neighbors yesterday and had a good time. They slow cooked, smoked some meats and stuff. So it was delicious.
Yeah. I told my brother, I was like, I'm eating every meal from a grill this weekend.
Oh yeah.
I was like, you know,
perfect weather.
Grilling eggs was harder than I expected. No, I'm joking. I didn't do that. I was pretty committed to like once I hit noon, everything's coming off a grill. And I did that. I really enjoy grilling. I've got one of those, what you call it, egg style grills, you know, what I'm talking about. And, I figured the thing out. I know how to work it pretty good.
Do you like grilling?
Feed an army. I like doing a whole chicken spatchcock style and spreading it out, across the, that's always nice. It's kind of like a Peruvian chicken, style. And then, I also like to do slow and low ribs and, you know, I like beef ribs and all that kind of stuff. Fun, weird cuts of meat. I always enjoy that.
Yeah, sounds good.
It's a great time. My brother's kind of the grill master extraordinaire. So he's taught me quite a bit. When he comes over to my house, I always feel like judged. You know,
he's
how a lot of people
are managing you.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I just look for the nod, like, you're doing good, or like big eyes. I'm like, I'm doing something wrong. What is it? you know, kind of thing. There's a lot of pressure when you've got somebody that really knows what they're doing as oversight. But then I go up to his house and I just sit back and drink beer.
That's it. Perfect.
Like, you got this.
Yeah.
You got this. All right, let's bring on our guest. So today we have Wilson Matthew Betances. Betances?
Oh yeah, perfect.
Betances. did I get it?
No, that you hit it on the head. Yeah, it's usually two or three takes. So
well, it was two. It was one and a half. I grabbed it fast. We're calling you Will. Will, thank you for being here.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks, Chad. Thanks, Stacey.
Yeah, absolutely. So Will is coming on to talk about what he's doing with Energize. Is it Energize US or Energize Us?
Energize Us.
Nice.
But US does sound pretty good too, right?
You've got to, yeah. I mean, yeah. Play with it either way. And you know, I know you've got this brand associated both with your electrical contracting business and with a 501c3 that you've developed here over the past couple of years. You know, maybe give us a lay of the land. Tell us a little bit about your background, the electrical business, the 501c3, you know, just for context for our audience.
I appreciate that. So my name's Will. I'm based out of the Northeast. I'm over here in Connecticut, and I'm an electrical contractor working out of the state of Connecticut. We touch in Mass, New Hampshire, and then throughout some other states. But our company started growing, especially during the years of COVID. I think everyone recognized that home services started blowing up left and right. And it was good, but at the same time, the bad too, because if you were any Joe Schmo who knew how to turn a screwdriver, you blew up and you were busy. Mm-hmm. And that started, you know, with anything in business, you just start growing with the need. Yeah. So as our electrical contracting started growing, I started needing more help. And as we were started hiring, we just kept running into the same thing, especially the sector I was working in, it was solar.
Ah.
So with solar, it was very competitive, as you can imagine. Solar started booming as well. And it was always sign-on bonuses. Everybody was poaching their players. Uh-huh. So it was like, hey, work here 30 days, get a $5,000 sign-on bonus. And then these guys were just hopping around. That never sat with me because I came from the trades, you know, in New York City, where it was like, you're lucky to find a minimum paying job, minimum wage paying job, and you should be happy. You know, yeah. That was the era we grew up. And now guys are getting $10,000 before 30 days. It's like, this made no sense to me at all. Mm-hmm. So as we started hiring, and then these guys would just keep jumping around because their resumes, everyone's a pro on their resume.
Yeah.
Everyone focused on work ethic and skill set. Pro, pro, pro. But I'm like, why these guys are just, you know, jumping around. They're not taking anything serious, to the point where I'm like, why am I going to hire somebody with 3, 5, 6 years experience, have to undo all the learning, and then they're just going to leave? I'd rather invest into somebody green. And that's where the idea of Energize Us EDU, an offset, you know, of our company, would have our own apprenticeship program. I did it for 2 of our employees, got them licensed. And I'm like, okay, that worked. So concept works.
Yeah.
Then my buddy's like, can you do my guys? And then I'm like, okay, I'm not going to start diving into this one company at a time. Let's just bring this national now. And wow. That's where the whole thing started.
Holy moly.
Jumped right in.
So, all right, Will, you're a young guy. You know, I wonder, just as a starting point, what prompted you to start your own electrical business in the first place? And I'd like to then dig back into, you know, the motivation and the mindset around, you know, growing your own. But we'll start there. Like, what motivated you to become an entrepreneur?
It's kind of weird. I wasn't the typical high school kid. A lot of people would say I was very, not spoiled. I was just, I never hung out with kids my age. Mm. I was always with older friends, like my parents' age and older.
Really?
I was always the young guy. I was always the young guy. So it was so fun because, you know, one, I would always have a blast because they were always taking me somewhere with them, you know? So I always got to experiment some things, but I always saw what they were doing. And they would always say, hey, dude, like, don't waste your time doing these little stuff. Trust me. Just trust me. Just give it 5 years. Just give it 10 years. And that really helped me through high school, kept me in line. So It was nice that I had that type of peer pressure, that positive peer pressure around me, because they always showed me what was to come. All these guys were.
So it sounds like you had mentors early on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the word. And every phase of my life, I even had this podcast a few times with other individuals. I said every phase in my life, there was one or two guys I always had. It was weird. Like, and I never thought of them as mentors until, like, holy smokes, that was a mentor. Every phase of my life, I always had somebody there. And it was just awesome. It was just like night and day. And I'm the type of guy where, yes, you know, blue collar, we learn the hard way. You know, we work with our hands. But I'm the type where if I can avoid pain, I'll listen to someone, you know, just enough. Like, you don't have to stumble and fall and bust a knee to go, okay, I'm not going to do that again. I can now go, okay, I'm going to fall. Yeah, I trust you. You know, like, no one's going to tell you to not get hurt for no benefit.
I really wish I learned that way, Will. I'm like, I'm the type where somebody's like, that stove is hot. And I'm like, is it? Okay.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, ow, okay, noted. But I appreciate the forewarning, and you did nothing. So I love it. So you know, this group of mentors kind of shapes your thinking, gets you picturing a longer term, maybe at a younger age, and you maybe develop a bit of a vision for your life that way, right? So spend some years coming up in the field, and then from there make the decision. I think I'm ready to do this on my own. And what size is the electrical business? How many people do you have today?
6 in the field, 3 in the office.
Awesome. Yeah. And still focused on solar?
No, solar was only like 1/3. We're probably like 38% of our total revenue.
Yeah.
38%. Yeah. So like a good third, pushing to a fourth.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Good. And yeah, now the market's shifted, and not just every Joe Schmo can kill it, right? So if you're making it in this market, that's a good sign.
That's what I'm excited about, because I keep telling everybody, with COVID, it was hyperinflated.
Yes.
Hyperinflated. You picked up a paintbrush, you got a job. You were making half a mil. You're making $350 to $500. Easy. And now where we're at is what we see is things aren't gridlocked. So it's not bad. It's tough, but it's not bad.
Yeah.
Still traveling. Yeah. People are still shopping, even though
it's just what I would call more realistic.
Yeah. So almost close to normal condition, and people are folding.
Yep.
That's the sad part. This is not even like tough.
Well, there's a lot of folks that you know, I don't mean to sound brutal, but like there's probably a lot of folks who didn't really have, you know, a business. They didn't really have a company. They had, enough work that they had a job. And now that, you know, the market conditions kind of normalize and people aren't desperate to find a contractor to do the thing,
or they weigh the options now.
They have options. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Where before they'd call you and you'd be like, look, I'm 8 months out. And they're like, man, I want to get this thing done. Like,
I'll pay double, 10% over asking.
Yeah. I mean, we were seeing it. I agreed. It was in every, market. It was in residential, it was in commercial. It was,
vehicles too.
Really everywhere. Vehicles. That's exactly. Man,
I bought 3 vans. I had to pick them up from Florida because nowhere else. It was like nothing in the Northeast, bro.
Dude, it was crazy. Yeah, that was nuts. I remember I bought a used car like in February of 2020, and it was worth like $15,000 more, 6 months later. I was like, wow. And you know, people are like, you should sell it. And I'm like, well, I'm screwed. It was the same way with houses, right? There was no upside.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, to get now from underneath it. Okay, cool. So you develop this Energize Us EDU, first by discovering, hey, growing my own apprentices rather than fighting in the market for people who already have these certifications is a more sustainable path. I'm not in these bidding wars with, you know, people who have no loyalty, who I'm going to pay them, and then, you know, they're going to be looking for the next paycheck. Let me grow my own. Tell me a little bit about how you've set this thing up since you've decided to just go big, roll the thing all the way out, go national. How's it set up? How does it work? And what's the, you know, sort of current success story?
I appreciate that. Is it a good time to mention that phrase that we talked about before?
100%. Do it.
What I love about the trades is the trades can give you, and I saw one of your videos, Chad, when you were saying how contracting, I believe, is one of the only trades out there where you can positively impact your business overnight.
Yeah.
I mean, success, that takes years. But you can actually change overnight. If you communicate poorly with a customer, if you show bad character, if you're just overpromising on bids, if you're making false promises, double booking yourself, and you're getting this bad side effects, you can literally change that with the next phone call. Yeah. Hey, this customer I'm going to treat the right way. This customer I'm going to speak the right way. This one I'm going to bid appropriately. This one I'm not going to scratch. You can literally change your business overnight. Now, success is a long-term goal. That's the goal for everybody. But what I love about the industry, it's so quick to adapting. What I love about the construction trades is the potential of what we have. But what we see is, I've been doing this for 30 years. What do you have to tell me? Kid, you're still wet behind the ears. That type which is fine. That's the culture. I love it. We all have fun about it. We all when you're on the job site, you don't want it to be quiet. You want to have some fun. So it's nice to have that. But I'm a firm believer that they're taking it to heart. A lot of us take it to heart and we just think it's just supposed to be a job. Hmm. I remember in the union, I was always told, hey, bro, be seen, not heard. Right. I remember my foreman saying that.
Yeah, dude,
just be seen, don't be heard, and just collect your check at the end of the week.
Yep.
That is genuinely the mindset. So now when you start saying, like, all these companies are growing, all these industries are growing, and contractors are still the same, why is that? And it comes down to the phrase, what got us here won't get us where we need to go.
Yeah.
So that sticks in my head every day. Because, once again, you see the powers that be, any type of organization, any type of association, the pattern is, hey, send your people to us. Send your people to us. There's nothing engaging about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the times that we're in. Everyone starts talking about the youth. Everyone starts talking about the next generation. And I genuinely believe, one, we don't have a skilled labor shortage. We don't. And two, I don't think it's the next generation's problem. I think it's retention is the issue because of the current generation. So that's where I'm coming in the sense where what I want to change, I want to do it my part.
And so
that we're pushing.
You just said something that made, like, I have to understand that more. We don't have a skilled labor shortage. Probably the first time I've ever heard those words. Talk to me. What leads you to that premise?
Why get paid minimum wage to work in an attic when you can get $20 working at Target down the block in the AC in the summer? Everybody's so prone to saying the skill trades are so cool. They're trying to make it a trend to attract these kids in.
Yeah.
And then digging, like in the Northeast, I remember digging trenches in the winter blizzard.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, you know, an attic fan mid-July.
Yep.
That's not fun. That's not cool.
Yep.
You know, it's hard work. And that's where we started the podcast. Remember, we talked about when we first came into the union, when we first come into the workforce, everyone's just like, get to work. Get your hands dirty. Be seen. Don't be heard. Right? That's the mentality. Or we were happy just to get minimum wage. What I appreciate about the next generation is just they're just vocal. If they don't want to do something, they're not going to do it. We came from, okay, we're going to do this because we see the investment. Remember when you mentioned it's like how basically my upbringing, I don't need to watch someone fall and skin their knee.
Right.
To say, hey, I don't want to do that.
Right.
That's just an extreme version of this next generation. They're just very vocal and saying, F that, I don't want it. It's not because they're lazy. It's because there's no incentive. When everyone's talking about all these other opportunities out there that they don't have to go in an attic at 90 degree. Is it awesome? Is it has an opportunity in the future? Absolutely. But they can just say, hey, well, I'm doing fine right now at home at this.
Mm-hmm.
That pain point isn't pushed all the way down. So they just don't need to. And on top of that, you have the existing construction culture where we joke around. Once again, I say a lot of these contractors take it to heart. You know, last year we traveled the U.S. I met the most influential tradespeople. I literally flew around the U.S. We did podcasts with them and all the biggest pages. And everyone's the same way. The construction culture is the same throughout the U.S. And someone coming in where if you're saying you're going to break this kid's knuckles, if you're going to do this, you're going to do that. I don't want to jump into something I already know I'm not going to like. I don't need to waste 2, 3, 4 years. We're already pushing the same message with college. Why go to college 4 years and get all this debt?
Right. Kids
coming in saying, why do I got to go 4 years to bust my knuckles and just be screamed at the last 4 years? So it's the same type of principle that the next generation is coming into. So to attract them, to really retain that workforce, I'm saying we got to fix the current generation.
Hmm. And your contention is that there are enough people to fill these slots.
There is.
But that we need to create a better environment for them to work, and we got to sell the
we got to sell the upside, the future. We have to put in place these incentives,
of course,
to not just attract, but to retain this talent.
Exactly. 100%. And remember, a lot of the part where we talk about the shortage and why I keep focusing on the current generation, because there's no company in a standstill. Nobody going out of business because I don't have enough guys. You don't see companies folding because of the lack of labor. Mm. It's the opposite. It's they have individuals on their team that they're trying to keep because they just want to keep operations moving, or they don't want to train their team. They don't want to incentivize their team. So they have these. I always viewed it as everyone's running full capacity and only producing 50%. When you can even cut people back and keep the ones that are working 100%, you'll go a lot further. That's what we're seeing. We're seeing a lack of training, a lack of focus on the education, the lack of focus on the incentives of what the trades have to offer. Everyone's running 50% just to hold a job.
Okay, so enter Energize Us EDU. Talk about what you're doing.
So what we're doing is not just bringing the apprenticeship training, but we're bringing what the trades have to offer throughout that. So what we have is our own framework, and basically our framework is walking somebody through a typical job site, just like you would in the field. So what's one thing blue collar's reputation is when it comes to schooling? We're horrible at school. We're the B or C students, right? That's what, don't right. they around about that? It's like, oh, you got a C at school. How's being a contractor treating you? You know, it's like, because they put those two together. So we weren't prone to be efficient, or we weren't prone to being good students when it came to the classroom. So we all decided to work with our hands because we learned a different way, which is awesome, which gave us this life. But what do we see? The apprenticeship. I've been there. A few people been there where you work a full 8-hour day. Over here, it was during the winter, and then they throw you in a classroom at 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. in a warm, toasty classroom, and then everyone's falling asleep. So now you're being thrown back to a classroom when class wasn't our strong suit. There's no way of engaging with a student mentally. Yeah. You know, they already put a full day's work in. That's their love language. They understand what's going on. So with our framework, we basically have our lesson plan, our curriculum, and we're tailoring it like a job site. So we start with everything like the contract, the foundation, then we do the blueprint, the installation, the inspection, the closeout. So those are the steps, the structure. So we're basically walking through the lesson, prepping you and walking you through a mental job site of what this code is. How do you apply this in the field? How do you do this? Understanding everything from A to Z. So now when you go on a job site, you can apply it, bop, 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 in order of operation. But that's only one piece of it. The next piece of it, when it comes to the type of curriculum, the type of training that we're giving, is based off of leadership. Because one of my videos on YouTube that popped off when I first started Instagram was when I said, after 7 years of contracting, I should have stayed as an apprentice. And the reason why was, as I started my apprenticeship, I remember I was paired with my foreman. And every day when I was just learning, I was green, he would say, grab this, grab that. And that was my day-to-day for the last 3 months. Just grab this part, grab that part, grab this part, grab that part. He would give me this tool, give me that tool. And forever, I'm just like, okay, this is going to be stupid. This is bull. Until one day, he's like, grab me the hammer drill with the 3/8 bit. I grabbed the hammer drill, got the 3/8 bit. And then for some reason, it was like, he's going to need a plastic anchor next. And I'm like, huh. So when I gave him the drill bit, he started drilling. I grabbed the plastic anchor. And I'm like, here, just to see if that was what he was going to need. And he turns around, goes, plastic. And then he started smiling. He's like, now you're getting it. So I'm like, and that's what the first time I saw him smile, first of all. Then I'm like, okay, something's clicking here. You know? There's a sequence. Okay, now he needs a screw. Okay, get the screw, get the washer, get the box. He's like, there you go. You put the puzzle together now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, holy smokes. There's an order to everything. There's patterns. So then as I started working with him, and I'm giving him these parts, I'm like, okay, I'm being of service to him. I'm facilitating him. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, some time passes, I'm a foreman. I'm facilitating the crews now. I'm facilitating the teams. Okay. I become a contractor. I'm doing the same thing. I'm always being of service to somebody. Mm-hmm. I'm always prepping just on a larger scale now as a contractor. Now it's not just material for one job. It's what does the company need? Okay, we need 100 boxes. Let's make an order. Oh, we need 100 of this, 100 of that. Mm-hmm. So it's always learning to be of service to someone. And that's where I said, even during your apprenticeship, you can learn leadership qualities because you're learning to be of service to someone. So with our attention of sequencing, when it comes to our framework, the attention on developing leaders, even throughout your apprenticeship, that those two combine with the schooling, the apprenticeship training, the focus on education and what the trade really has to offer, that's what we're going to do. And that's how we're going to push the current generation as well as the next coming in.
So speaking of love languages, Will, this workforce development thing is kind of Stacy's jam.
Oh yeah.
Stacy's personal. I've never met somebody who has this as a hobby. Stacy's just all kinds of fired up. So I say mm-hmm. that Stacy, I bet you have some questions.
Yeah, well, you touched a lot on the apprenticeship part, but let's talk about Builders United. And because you touched a lot on, you know, contractors getting into the workforce, but they don't, you know, have those basic entrepreneurship skills, and how can you help them? Because as we talked about before, they get into it for the love of the trade, but then they end up owning their own business and they don't know how to navigate a business.
Oh yeah. And we've seen it. Sadly, I have three close friends who in the last 3 months closed down business, two companies closed down business. They love the trade. They hate business. Mm-hmm. They hate business. And now it's sad to see the complete flip, because once again, during COVID, everyone was killing it. Everyone was, you know, flashy. Now, normal conditions, people are shutting down. But that's why we focused, when we started with the school, we pushed everything all at once. Because last year we recognized we're in 2025. This is a media game now. So everything is, what we talked about is, I don't need to outwork all the powers that be, all the other associations. We just got to stick around and be on media, because then in a year, two, three, four, five, you know, that's the only ones that are going to be sticking around. And we want to be that solution to contractors when it comes to the current generation. So when it comes to our association, we created Builders United in Leadership Development. And once again, it's going back to the focus on leadership. There is no doubt, you talk to any contractor and they all love the work. That's almost therapeutic. We had so many individuals reach out saying, if I can go on a job site and my phone doesn't ring and I'm just working, they're in heaven. They have no problem working all day, all night. They'll work 10, 11, 12, and they wear that with pride.
Well, yeah, right.
Right? Yeah. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I just got back from the job site, and they'll post about that.
Right.
They'll post their kids one time a month, but they'll post 10 o'clock. No, I love these guys. That's genuine. They take pride in it. Nobody's waking up and saying, I'm ready to do some half-ass work today. Mm-hmm. No one does that. That's what I love about it, because there's two trades that I truly admire, or two businesses that I truly admire, and it's the company culture. And it's Disney. You go to Disney World, everybody loves working at Disney. If you, nobody there is saying, I'm doing this just for a paycheck. Oh, I get paid from the neck. Nobody there is working at Disney because they hate it, or they just went there for the money. Nobody. And then contractors. They love showing their work. They love talking about their work. They love talking about every job they've been on. They love talking about their experience. That's what I love about contractors. They are truly passionate, but they need help when it comes to the business side of things. And the business side of things is, as Chad, as many of your videos say, it's not even much work. It's just how to properly communicate, how to deliver realistic expectations, you know, how to not double book yourself. You know, after you learn how to have that communication, then everything is boop, 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 back to sequencing. And they can do what they do. But what we see is we need more leaders within the industry, because when you are a profitable growing business, you're going to have the funds and resources to hire the next generation, to give them the incentives that they need to stay into the trades.
Yeah, that is always the push pull, right? It's you know, we can focus on the workforce, and that's important. You got to focus on developing this talent, making those investments, but you got to be able to make the investments. And you know, this is the thing that I think most employees, not just in the construction industry, I think across our entire economy, most employees don't fully appreciate the importance of profit.
Yeah.
And how if there's no profit, there's no ability to make this a better place. And so, you know, we are all in this together. You know, we need our people to help us to create profitable outcomes. And we need our companies to reinvest those profits into, you know, developing people and creating a better environment.
You hit it on the head. And that's what's needed. Like you said, it's the lifeblood, the bloodline. It's of the company. You need to keep being profitable. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing guys doing the race to the bottom when it comes to competitors now. They just, who's going to go the lowest? Then they go below cost. And then right there, it's a downward spiral. You can keep afloat if you have a lot of low ticket items. You'll keep afloat. The second low ticket items and then tough times come and it gets choked out, that bleeds real quick. That dries up real quick. I tell everybody, as long as you have cash flow, you can get a week, 2 weeks. You can stay afloat. You know, the second everything stops, it's, oh no, that's where it's 0 to 100 real quick.
It can get ugly, and it is getting ugly for folks out there. It has gotten ugly, and it has for years. I mean, it's not, just this moment in time, as I think we've been talking about. Like this moment in time is painful in contrast to a crazy boom time like we had in 2021, 22, you know, that kind of stuff. But you know, when you really look at it in context, like this, is, you got to be able to operate when business isn't just growing on trees. So
exactly. It's like restaurants. If you can make money on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you know, you're doing good.
I know nothing about the restaurant business, but that sounds true. That sounds true. Yeah, it does. No, I tend to agree. Talk about what's going on with the podcast, Work and Talk podcast. What's that aimed at? And, who are you talking to? How's that work?
So in 2024, that was our goal, was to travel the US. And I think we went to like 13 different states.
Wow.
And we literally messaged all the biggest pages, the influencers on Instagram, and said, hey, I would love to get you on a podcast. And they're like, too busy. I'm like, well, I'm flying out. And I would just fly out to their state and just sat in a hotel. Luckily, the longest it took was 2 days before someone like finally said yes. So it wasn't that bad.
I love the hustle, man.
But it was just fun. It was just fun. And once again, last year was credibility. Last year spoke on, this is what I'm pushing. This is what I'm able to do, because it was every 4 weeks we traveled last year. So it was like, how was I able to do all of that and my business still operate?
Mm-hmm.
So it was also a proof of concept of what is possible. I did that the whole year last year. Every month I went to another state. We did a podcast, and then we'd spend another 2 days with the influencer, got to meet their family, the whole backstory. And then that's all led everything to our convention that we had last year as well. But at the same time, this year, we try to switch it up. We try to announce, just speak from personal perspective of what the trade has to offer. So that's what 2025 was all about. But in quarter three, we're going to start back on doing podcasts with individuals.
Cool.
With other guests.
So, sorry, we're covering a lot of turf. So I'm going to zoom it back to the 501c3 business here for a minute. Energize Us EDU. Who is it for? Is it just an electrical thing, which would be by itself enough, or is it beyond that? What are you looking like? You know, who's the target audience there?
It's going to be everybody. We're starting with electrical, solar, as you can imagine, because it's our bread and butter.
Yep.
It's what I can start and defend push?
Yeah, sure.
If a plumber came at me, there's only so much I can do right now. Yeah. You know, so with electrical and what we've seen is, once again, it goes back to down to the concept and our framework that we're working on. If we can get down to the root framework, if we can get down to the root blueprint and proof of concept, then it's going to apply in all trades. It's going to apply because we're all the same. We're all dealing with the same things. So yeah, we're starting with electrical and solar, getting everyone licensed in that field. And then we're moving into HVAC, then plumbing. Because HVAC is that like middle child. It's the the blend between both worlds, you know?
Right.
Yep. Yep. That mechanical space. Awesome. Stacy, any other questions on your end?
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on the apprenticeship with affordable housing.
Ooh, yeah. So as we touched on before, part of our ecosystem when it comes to Builders United and leadership development, our apprenticeship training and the affordable housing, once again, we need profitable businesses to grow or to want to grow to hire on the next generation. But what are we seeing? COVID, once again, goes back to a big lesson for a lot of contractors is if you are just throwing money at workers, at the workforce, that didn't help incentivize anybody.
That's right.
That didn't help them. They still left. Nobody stayed, and people were making $20 and never picked up a tool before. Mm-hmm. That's pretty wild. So it's not a money problem because they didn't stay either way. What we have is a retention problem. So when it comes to affordable housing, I'm going to be working with contractors who are part of our build association, who are enrolled into our monthly classes to help them grow their businesses so they can be profitable, so they can invest into training for their own team. So if you are hired or employed by one of our build association contractors, and you meet his minimum probation period, if you're working with him and he goes, I want to throw you through the apprenticeship and we have affordable housing available, we will offer it to the apprentice. Because once again, I don't think it's a money problem, but everybody has the same choke point. I see what the trades have to offer. You can make all the money you want in 4, 5, 6, 7 years once you become a master level and open up your own business, but I have to pay the rent at the end of the month. That's the reality that a lot of people are facing. So what can we do? We're not going to incentivize you with money, because if we learned what happens when you incentivize people with money, they learn those habits, they don't grow, they stay stagnant, and then in 6 months, they're going to ask for another raise. So it's a downward spiral. It's like lowering your prices. So what we're going to do is partner up with these contractors, part of the association, part of our big 3 to 5 year plan is to have this affordable housing. So we can't pay you $20, $25 green, but we're going to take that biggest burden that you have and lower it for you. And then just like with other programs, you know, the insurance and car payments and all that will help bring them down. But our number one focus is to take that number one expense that everybody has to deal with and bring it down. So now that $16, $17, $18 an hour, now you're on an equal playing field. But it's only available if you stick through the program as long as you're still employed.
Cool.
So now we're incentivizing character, trust, and the vision for the trades rather just than looking for a guy with 3 to 5 years experience.
I love it. It's cool. It's a smart innovation, and you know, I think can create a win-win for participants and employers.
It's going to be fun. And once again, it goes back to what got us here won't get us here. Won't get us there. So is it going to work? We're going to find out in 3 years. You know?
What I'm confident of after speaking with you is that you're going to see it through. So, it's cool. Yeah. Cool to hear what you're doing, and we'll certainly keep our eye on it. And I think maybe have you back in a year or two and check to see status at that point. The thing will continue to get smarter and different and better as you go. Keep doing what you're doing, Will. It's awesome.
I appreciate you and your time, guys. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
See you soon, Will.
Bye.
See ya.
Cool conversation.
Yeah. So this is it for this season.
Yeah. We're taking a summer holiday, much needed. It'll be nice to reset and, I know we're looking for, you know, guests starting in the late fall, mid fall, late fall, that kind of time frame. I know we're loading up, but if you or anybody you know is creating positive change in the building industry, and you know, this is a platform to talk about it, we'd love to have you on.
Yep. We'll be back in September.
Stacy, what are you going to do this summer?
I don't have any vacation plans, so just probably a lot of like home renovation stuff. What about you?
We're going to Ireland for a couple of weeks.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's okay. Nice. It's like a favorite spot for my wife and I, and trying to get our kids as into Ireland as we are. It's for me, anytime it gets hot, I think you know this, anytime it gets hot, I go somewhere cool.
Yeah, it's pretty rainy over there, right?
Yes, amen. Yeah, I like it. Yeah. I like cloudy and 65. That's kind of like my ideal day.
Nice. Well,
so Ireland's a good fit for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. But other than that, just working, building the business. We're definitely hiring. I'm excited. I think we'll bring on at least one, if not two, consultants over the summer. And okay, cool. Yeah, that'll help me immensely too. So
yes, yeah. Awesome.
I'm up to my eyeballs.
You'll get there. It's part of the roller coaster.
I know, it's a lot of fun. We'll see you soon, Stace.
All right, see ya.